In March of 2003, guitarist Mark Knopfler broke a collarbone, a shoulder, and 7 ribs in a motorcycle accident. During 7 months of recovery, the frontman for the 80s supergroup Dire Straits had to stay away from his guitar and the recording studio. When Knopfler returned, he worked on a CD, which was released this past fall. The only tune on it which appears to make a direct reference to the accident is the last one on the recording. It's called Don't Crash the Ambulance.
We don't forget who put us here, Jack. That's page one. We talk soft, carry a big stick, pack the biggest gun. We don't like accidents, major or minor. You don't want yourself an incident. Don't ever invade China.
Mark Knopfler is on tour in the United States now, playing new songs as well as some fan favorites, and he's in our New York bureau. It's nice to talk to you again.
It was nice to be here. Thanks for having me, Leanne.
No problem. It's only been 14 years since we last
Well, spoke. Time flies when you're having fun.
Doesn't it, though? How much do you remember about the accident and the subsequent rehabilitation?
Well, it hurt at the time, but I remember the first thing I felt when the car came out and hit me, and I just went right up in the air and crashed down. I remember when I was lying on the ground, the first thing that I would do would just check the fingers and toes that they were on. They were all moving. So I knew I was hurt, but I knew it would be okay.
Don't Crash the Ambulance. I mean, there's a real wry humor about this. My question is it about your accident? It seems to be.
No.
Ha-ha. Ha-ha.
No, it's really not. It was actually more politically inspired. I was really thinking about the handover of power, you know, from one to the next. Actually, there is a reference in the album. There's a line in there saying, I got shot off my horse. You know, and some people say, oh, that's the song. That's the one. That's the reference to it. And I don't even know whether that's true either.
I got shot off my horse, so what, I'm up again. Laying in one of these big saloons on Main. You can come up here, take a look around these sinner's dens. You're only ever gonna find one or two real games. Nobody's driving me underground. Not yet anyway. But either on the strip or on the edge of town, everybody pays. Everybody pays to play.
Everybody pays is one of those things again. You know, it's a hard song to talk about because it's about a number of things. And sometimes, you know, I don't try to be too mysterious about songs, but sometimes you're just feeling at something, and it's hard to be specific. And different people make the song into something for themselves, and you kind of can kind of spoil it for them, and I don't want to do that either.
And people knowing about your accident will tend to kind of sift through your next project to find out, where do we find these nuggets of his own experience in here?
Yeah, and you know, I think more important things happen to you than accidents anyway. If the accident did anything for me, which of course it did, it taught me that just cliches, but important ones, you know, that we don't know what can happen next. We should try to get the most out of every day. I think before that I was always thinking about more about, oh, it'll be better next year, it'll be better when, you know. And I'm not like that anymore.
Everybody Pays also seems to be almost a reflection on success and sort of a warning to younger musicians. It's okay, live in your stardust and all, but remember there's a price for everything.
Well, success is something I would recommend it to anybody, but there's obviously, you've got to really watch it, because there's a downside of it that becomes apparent fairly quickly. And you've just got to be careful that you don't damage whatever it is that you have with the very thing that achieves, namely the success.
I heard once that there's nothing as painful as an untold story. Would you subscribe to that theory?
Who said that?
It was said at a commencement address about students who were receiving communications degrees, and they were encouraged, you know, to tell their stories and tell other people's stories.
Well, I think there is a bit of a compulsion on my part to uncover stories, I suppose. You know, and when it's a life story, it calls for a certain kind of skill, which I'm not sure exactly what that is, because it's not exactly poetry and it's not exactly prose. It's another kind of consciousness.
Your recordings are marked by these biographical pieces. And it's interesting the fact that you once taught literature, and in talking about poetry or prose or portraits, you wrote about Mason and Dixon, for example, on your Sailing to Philadelphia CD. On this one, the single that's being released, Boom Like That, is about Ray Kroc, founder of the McDonald's chain. What was it in his life that inspired a song?
I remember coming across a quote in a book, and it was a fantastic quote. It was something like, if the opposition is going to drown, put a hose in their mouth. It's dog eat dog, rat eat rat.
I'm going to San Bernardino, ring-a-ding-ding. Milkshake mixes, that's my thing.
And so I tried to find a few more things that he said. And it was something about his name, which I loved. You know, Ray Kroc.
And I got to see a good thing, sure enough now. It's doggy dog, ratty rat. Croc style, boom like that.
It interested me from many points of view, the fact that he set the model for a lot of other corporations to follow, and certainly in terms of that aggressive expansion style of business where you identify where you have to be and then you drive the opposition out.
My pulse begins to hammer and I hear a voice say, these boys have got this down, ought to be one of these in every town. These boys have got the touch, it's clean as a whistle and it don't cost much.
So I just got kind of interested in it. I read a book that Kroc wrote called Grinding It Out, another fabulous title. And there's no mention in there of the slaughterhouses or anything like that, but it's just kind of fascinating. And that's where I got the line, man, they made me grind it out.
The CD was recorded in Shangri-La Studios. That's the title of the CD, Shangri-La. Bob Dylan hung out there. Neil Young hung out there. The band hung out there. It's kind of a 60s California thing. The owner preserved it. He invited you to record there. How did this atmosphere kind of influence not only the recording of the entire CD, but obviously the title tune, Shangri-La?
Well, I sensed that it would help, and I think I sensed right. I think it was a good thing to have done. I mean, I've been hanging around with these guys in the band for about 10 years, but we hadn't recorded together in California. And there's a song, Our Shangri-La, on there, and some other things that just seemed to be right. We had to carry out a lot of running repairs on the place, and I think we've left it in a much better state than we found it. But a very nice guy that has been sort of keeping the thing together, and I hope that they can go on with it. And it's certainly a place that I would love to go and record at again, Shangri-La.
I want to play something from Our Shangri-La, very end of the cut, and you have an extensive guitar solo.
It's a sound that I love. It's a sound that I fell in love with as a kid, listening to things by The Shadows and by Duane Eddy. That kind of sound, the twangy guitar sound and the music just rolling along like that. Yeah, that's happiness for me.
Mark Knopfler's new CD is called Shangri-La, and it's on Warner Brothers Records. He's on tour in the United States now. Thanks for making a stop in our studios in New York, Mark.
Thank you, Leanne. It's nice to talk to you again.
To hear more of Mark Knopfler's music, go to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.